Okay. So, I probably should have split this up, but we're not, because it goes together, and I think that we can still see the points that are in there for us to take away as application, and also to see the bigger picture of what we're trying to teach here today with parables. That's the focus of today, is going to be parables. We're going to be in chapter 4, verses 1 on through 34. And we've mentioned before that in the book of Mark, and we've kind of been seeing it so far, it's been playing out as true, Mark is not really focused necessarily on the in-detail depth of what Jesus is teaching. He often just kind of gives us a quick summary statement and then moves on. He's trying to give us a big synopsis of everything that's happening here. His focus is on proving who Christ is and what he's done, and a little less on his actual teachings. We see more of the teachings in Matthew and Luke and John. But chapter 4 is a little bit of an exception. We said there was a couple exceptions marked in there where he does focus in more on the teaching. We do get more than just a quick little paragraph and then back to the story. And this is one of those times. So today, like I said, we'll be in chapter 4, verses 1 through 35. And in this, Jesus is going to give us four parables. One's going to be a bit longer. And then he's going to give us three shorter ones as well. And so, like I said, our focus today is on that, on parables. We're going to look at, hey, what exactly is one? How do you interpret it? What was the point of the parables as Jesus teaches? Now, there's something for us to just kind of note here with this. Is again, we'll get into the actual text here in a second, but there's about 39 parables in total across the Gospels. Some of them are repeated, like these that we're going to read today. They get repeated. John also doesn't really touch much on the parables. John uses metaphor. He gives speeches that, or sermons maybe is a better word to say, that Jesus was teaching with metaphor, but not quite parables. So just within our Matthew, Mark, Luke, our three synoptic gospels, like we said, we've got about 39 of them. And some of them repeat, some of them don't. Some of them are pretty short, like as in one verse long, and some of them are longer. Some of them are quite popular and, we could pretty immediately think of. And then others are a bit longer, or a bit less popular, not ones that we immediately think of when we think of the parables. So with that out of the way, I'm just going to read the first two verses here, and then we'll go from there and kind of talk about what is a parable. So it says anyways here, the beginning of chapter 4. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them. So we'll just hold there before we get into the parable. And again, just kind of talk about what it is for a second. And also remember where we kind of have been. So remember, up to this point, Jesus has kind of been gathering a crowd. He's got a group of disciples that are following him. These close, committed followers to his teaching. He also just has a big crowd that has heard the noise and kind of heard about what he's been doing, these miracles he's been performing, and they're just kind of popping in to see the show and see how they might benefit from it. They're not really these committed followers like his disciples are. And amongst those disciples, he's called those 12 apostles even. We've also seen, like if we go back, for example, and look at chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him." So here today, we see a very similar setting. He's out by the sea. There's this big crowd. And lest he be crushed, he's just going to go ahead and stand on the boat and teach. Like, we're not really necessarily in like the part of the, we have our lake, I guess. So anyways, point being, there's a festival in Nashville each year where they play the music from a barge out on the river. And then everybody else is kind of on the bank side watching the music being played from the barge out on the river. Kind of the same thing. That's just where my mind goes to, is thinking of that. That music of the people out on the riverside, and then you've got everybody else sitting around. So that's what Jesus is doing. Out on the boat, right by the bank, teaching all the people the river. It's not necessarily that he's just avoiding the people, but we've already seen, like we said in chapter 3, verse 9, he's worried about literal crowd crush. And so he's out on the boat teaching. And then we're talking about these parables. He said many things to them in parables and in his teaching. And so what exactly is a parable? So it's not quite a fable, right? Like a fable is a story that comes to one end moral kind of statement, right? The rabbit and the hare. You tell this story, and at the very end statement, you kind of have this moral point of, well, it's not always the fastest isn't always the one that wins, right? You kind of have that moral point. It's also not quite just a metaphor where you're making a statement like Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and you're using this comparison of who he is to light. It's not quite that either. When he's telling a parable, he's telling a story, but he's also making an analogy in that. It's not just to some grand metaphor point. It's always revealing something about salvation, about the coming kingdom of God. All of them are focused on that. All 39 that he tells, they ultimately all point back to salvation, to the coming kingdom of God. And in these parables, he's not just using these foreign, alien things that they don't understand. He's not using these very abstract things because maybe they might make a better description. He uses things that are happening within their world, things that they understand and are familiar to them. Now, when we read that, our assumption pretty quickly is, oh, well, okay, Jesus was just telling the parables as like a quick story so that everybody could understand it better. And what we're going to see today is that's not really quite the point. In fact, it's almost the opposite of the point. What it does help us do, especially for us as believers, is for us to be able to see this truth about salvation, this truth about the kingdom, that maybe might be outside of worldly grasp and understanding for us and puts it in a worldly sense. We'll look more about the intention with the parables and how we can interpret them later, but let's just kind of keep that in our mind. When we're thinking of a parable, we're thinking of a story that's being told with more than just one moral point. It's trying to reveal something greater about the coming kingdom of God, about salvation, especially in the sense of how Jesus tells them. Parable telling was a pretty popular form of you know, being able to teach from the Jewish people at this time. But when we're talking about specifically how Jesus is using them, he's always focusing on the kingdom. And even when we're thinking about how the Jewish people were using parables, in a sense, they're doing the same thing, just in a different perspective and with much different backing than what Jesus was doing. Okay, so let's read this first parable here. We're going to read verses 3 through 9, and we'll see what it has to say. Okay, so verses 3 through 9. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it has no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it has no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, all right, let's look at this. Before we get to any interpretation, before we hear what Jesus has to say, let's just look and figure out what was being said in the bigger sense. So there's a sower of seeds. There's someone who's out trying to sow seeds to grow something. And he's going to sow it on four different types of soil. He's going to sow it along the footpath. He's going to sow it along the rocky ground. He's going to sow it along the thorny ground. And he's going to sow it along the good soil. And on those, when he sows it on the rocky ground, what happens? The birds come and they pick up the seed. They take it away. When he sows it on the rocky ground, the seed starts to spring, but it has no depth. And so when the sun comes, it just burns away. It has no root. Then we have the ones where it takes, but it grows up and it gets choked by the thorns. And so though the plant is alive, it yields no fruit. And eventually it'll die by those thorns. And then lastly, though, we have the good soil where the grain grew. And it produced, and it didn't just produce one time, but it produces over 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So that's what we're hearing at first. Now, if we just read that, okay, yeah, Jesus, that makes sense. That checks out with what I understand about agriculture. What does that have to do with anything? Are we going to start planting gardens now? What does this mean? There's not a lot of context there. Now, for us, What's great is hopefully if we're reading this as believers, we're seeing that and we're kind of already seeing, well, I think I see what he's saying. I can understand how in the context of salvation, I can see what he might be alluding to here. And that's good because that's kind of the whole point. We'll look at some verses here in a bit about what Jesus says about what the Spirit does and for us as believers. But let's move on here into chapter 4 to verse 10. This is the response right after that. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. So this is kind of afterwards, the crowd stepped aside. And Jesus is asked by his disciples, kind of, you know, if we imagine that there's this crowd of a couple hundred disciples and, you know, there's kind of a buzz going around. What exactly was this story Jesus was telling? Like, what does that mean? And they can't quite figure it out. And so, you know, it's like, all right, well, let's go to the 12. Like, they've got the ear of Jesus now. They're his inner circle. Hey, guys, can you go figure out, like, ask Jesus, what does this mean? So they do. Here's what Jesus responds. I'm going to read for us verses 11 through 13 here. It says, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So let's look at that, because what Jesus said, if we read that, there's some stuff to try to figure out there. So Jesus says to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom. You, my disciples, the one who are following me, the ones, you apostles who I've called, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside the kingdom of God, everything is in parables, so that, and then he quotes for us in Isaiah. Let me go read for us this kind of full little section here in Isaiah. This is from Isaiah chapter 6. And he quotes verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read for us 8 through 10 here. It says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he, the Lord, said, go and say this to the people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, or understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. That's what he quotes there in Mark chapter 4, verse 12, is quoting there from Isaiah chapter 6. So Jesus is making the point, look, the parables, what are the parables for? It's so that they may indeed see but not perceive, so they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. The whole point wasn't actually to make it clearer for everyone. It was so that they wouldn't understand. If he kept speaking as clearly and directly as he was, there's no way that they could miss it. But think about who this group that didn't understand was. It's not the ones who he's about to give the secret of the kingdom to, like he just said, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom. So they're going to get to know. For us now, those who have been saved, those who call ourselves Christians, we are a part of the kingdom. This isn't meant for us to be confused. We've been given the secret. When we read this, the secret is that we're talking about salvation. We can read the parable that we just got. We don't need Jesus' explanation that he's about to give in the next couple verses. We can just look and see and understand how, okay, well, this is talking about salvation then. And if it's talking about salvation, what might this seed be? Well, it's probably the gospel. It's probably the truth of God. And he's probably, when he's talking about these soil types, he's probably talking about the different types of people and how the gospel takes root in his heart. We don't need all of this extra explanation. For the disciples, they were getting Jesus themselves to walk them through this. And that's what he's going to do for the rest of his ministry. But this is a turning point. At this point, we're about a year out from the crucifixion. And for the rest of this time, he's only going to speak in parable. And the reason being that it's said in here that not all were going to understand. Let's look at a couple other verses, though. Let's just not look at this one. The first place I want to go is to the parallel passage here in Matthew 13. So Matthew 13 is where we can find in Matthew this same section. And in Matthew 13, 11, again, we can see this. It's essentially what he just said, but we can just see it worded a little differently. It can help give us a little bit more context here. So 11 through 13 say this. And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given. For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says," and then he goes on to quote the same section there in Isaiah, because it's the same parallel passage. But what we can see there, hey, listen, they were given a lot, and they've ignored this. Remember, we've already had the Pharisees going out and saying, the work that you do is by the hands of Satan. At this point, judgment's being brought. We can think to, for example, in Ezekiel. We use a verse from Zechariah the last time we wanted to think about judgment coming on those who were leading the people of Israel, the shepherds of Israel. But in Ezekiel, we see the same thing. In Ezekiel 34, we see the prophecy against the shepherds of Israel. And how it's going to be God who himself is going to come and judge the old shepherds of Israel. And he himself will be the good shepherd. I think that's very similar to what Jesus himself says he would do. We'll look at a verse connecting that here in a bit. But one last verse at this moment I want us to look at is in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And again, we can see that it's not just here in this one verse where we're seeing Jesus say, or someone else, this isn't Jesus, this is Paul writing, but someone else say that, look, there are those who have chosen to walk away from this. Let me read for us here. 2-7 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying it its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at knowledge of the truth." And so were these Pharisees. That last line fit them so well. Always learning, always trying to gather something, but never actually coming to the truth. And the judgment's come for them. Jesus has said that the time has come where you've rejected me, and so, okay, that's been your choice. There are going to be those who believe. We see that many come to believe. But what we see is what he said in verse 9 of this chapter, right at the end of that first parable. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So the ones who have ears to hear, they were going to hear. And he's going to explain these parables to his disciples, and they're going to go and they're going to preach the same messages. They're going to preach the coming kingdom. And for us now, how do we interpret the parables when we read? Well, the first thing that we can do is we can trust what it says in John. That when he said in John, "Hey, listen, I'm going to send the Spirit of the world that all understanding would come through." This is John 16:13. It says this: "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So how do we interpret the scripture? Well, we trust that the Spirit is moving in us. We pray for wisdom. It's not that what we're praying for is that God would just drop down some unattainable knowledge that no one's ever had. What we're praying for is that we can read the scriptures and understand it how they're intended. And the second thing we can do is we can allow scripture to interpret scripture. It's why we go and bounce to so many other verses on a Sunday. We want to be able to go and look and see, okay, what I'm reading here and what I'm thinking about here, there are other places in the Bible that support this. I can use other scripture to understand, yeah, okay, Jesus is, he says he's calling his sheep and his sheep will know my voice. And he's also saying here very clearly, and he says very clearly in the same passages in Matthew and in Luke, what we looked at in Isaiah, what we looked at in 2 Timothy, what we can find in other places in scripture, that, yeah, there are times that people have rejected God and he has allowed them to accept that. Okay, you've hardened your heart to this point, so be it. We can think to the example of Pharaoh, that Pharaoh both hardened his own heart and God hardened his, and see that aligns with what's happening here with the parables. So that's our thought, right? How do we interpret the parables? We trust the Spirit is with us. We pray for that wisdom. And as we read it, we allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. We go and find more to help support the ideas that we're seeing. We remember that this is always about salvation. And if all of the Bible is pointing towards salvation for man, if the Old Testament is pointing towards the coming Messiah, the New Testament is giving us the gospel of that said Messiah, and then the teachings of his followers sharing his message to us in the rest of the book, gosh, it's all pointing back to salvation. The rest of the word should help us understand these 39 different parables as they come. So let's read his interpretation now. Let's read here 14 through 20, and we'll see. Does this line up with what we said? Is this making sense? So here you guys, I'll read 14 through 20. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves, but endure it for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness and riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So he does. He explains it to us, and that aligns with just what we might go and look at and assume he's talking about when we know he's speaking of salvation. That we can look at this and we can see, oh yeah, this fits with what I see in this world, that there are those who hear the word and their heart is hardened like the footpath beneath them, and it doesn't permeate, and it's easily come and picked away. And there are those who hear the word and, oh yeah, my sins are forgiven. That sounds good. I'm interested. And then when they start reading more and they see, oh, it's through trial and tribulation that our faith is grown. Oh, in this world you may have troubles. I don't know about that one for me. I'm good. We can see that in this world. That checks out. Or the one who says, okay, yeah, no, I'm interested in this, but can I have everything else too? And if I mean, I'm just going to do that. I'm going to love and say Jesus is great. And also, I'm just going to continue doing everything that I was doing. I've met those people. I've seen those people. At times, I've probably been that person. And guess what? There wasn't really a lot of fruit in my life or those other people's lives in those moments. The world was choking away what the Lord was trying to do. But then there's the last person whose heart is ready to receive, who takes it in and grows, who has good soil. And out of them bears fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. He's going to give us three more parables, and they're all going to point to truths that are in Scripture when we think about salvation. So let's read these other, I'm going to read it all together, 21 through 32, these other three parables, and then we'll go back through and we'll pick out the truth that he has in there for us. So 21 through 32, these are three separate parables here. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given. And for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. Okay, let's go back and pick out, like, I think we can find in each one an ideal truth about salvation, about the coming kingdom that we could take away from this. In the first one, we could see is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Hey, why do you have a lamp? What's the purpose? To have light. Why have a lamp if you're going to hide it? Just don't have a lamp. Then you don't have to hide it. So if you have a lamp, what's the whole purpose? To put it out and to shed light. So if you've been given faith and salvation, what's the whole purpose? To put it out and to share light. And he gives us this phrase, to much is given, much more will be added. And to the one who has, more will be given. But to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. We read that too in Matthew. And we could find that too. It's very same kind of language that he uses when he gives the parable of the talents. A pretty popular parable, and we won't go there and read the whole thing, but if we can think of it, there's a master who gives to one servant 10 talents, an amount of money, who gives to another servant 5, and gives to a last one. And in that, the one who has 10, he goes out and doubles it. The one who has 5, he goes out and doubles it. But the one who had 1, he just buried it. And the one who had 1, the master was disappointed. I don't care that you didn't lose it. I wanted you to do something with it. I would have given it to somebody else who would have at least tried to do something with it. And the same with us in our faith, that we are given this faith, so let us put it out. Let us use our faith. So that's the first truth that we could find in this first parable. Let us use and put out our faith that's given to us. Then in the next parable, he gives us this phrase that says, the kingdom of God is as if, so we know that's what we're talking about. And the kingdom of God is as if this man should scatter seed on the ground. And then he talks about the process of growing. Does the man go down and do anything to the seed? No. The earth grows the seed. The man plants. And then he waits, he trusts that the Lord is going to do what he does. And then when it's time to harvest, the man goes and harvests. So for us to know, are we doing anything in salvation? No, we just go and we sow the seed. We sow the word, like we saw in verse 14. The sower sows the word. Those were those same seeds. So we go and we share the word. We're faithful to share the word. And then we trust that if God is going to work, he's going to work. And when it's time for the harvest, we come back and we are ready to harvest. We do the work there. But we know that salvation is not through us. It's not us who is doing the work. It's God. And then in the last parable, the last truth that we can pull is that he doesn't need a mighty amount of faith to do a mighty work. He's given us that faith in the parable of the lamp under the basket. And so we put it out. And when we put it out and we trust and we know he's going to do the work with it, then we get to this last parable, the truth that he will do a great and mighty work with it. All he needs is that little mustard seed and he'll grow it into the largest plant in the garden. So for us, what do? We faithfully put it out. Those are these last three parables that we read, these four together, and they're ultimately all four kind of together pointing us to the truth of what the gospel is. If you were one who was meant to hear, have ears to hear, let him hear. If that was you listening to this, man, it is starting to become clear. And for everyone else, I guess thanks for the agricultural lesson, Jesus. We're going to go on our way now. We'll be back to try to accuse you of heresy again sometime soon. Here's what he says in the last couple verses. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. So again, like I said, for the rest of this, about a year, a little bit over a year, but just about a year that's left until he is on the cross, when he's speaking publicly, he's speaking in parables. And then later on with his disciples, he's explaining everything to them. And like we said, we have the Spirit who has come now. We have the Spirit who has come now and who has given us all this wisdom, like it said there in John. So I just want us, as we kind of draw to a conclusion here and as we kind of are wrapping up this thought, my hope is partially that today you are able to see, hey, I understand what a parable is, what it isn't, and what Jesus' purpose for it was. I hope that we're able to see today, I can understand how I might interpret them today as a believer. I hope as believers that we can look at this and see, hey, look, these words that are here in the Scripture, I can read them with the eyes of the Spirit, and I can have understanding. If it's confusing to me, I can go and I can find other Scripture that helps me understand what he's trying to say about salvation. I can know this is about salvation. I can see and understand that, yeah, what he says in John 10 is true. He says in John 10, 25 to 30, I'll read this for us. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Or what he says just a couple chapters earlier in John 6, in verse 65. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. And so when God has given us ears to hear, we can't miss it. Take heart that as believers, we've heard his voice, that as he said, none can take his sheep away. And that we can read this and understand, and we can go and teach it too. Help others have eyes to see and ears to hear. That we can look at these truths that are here in these parables, and that we can take heart. That there is good soil in our heart. That we have been given a faith to put out. That he's the one who has to do the work, not us. And if we just put that faith out, we don't even need a lot of it. That even with the faith of a size of a mustard seed, he can do the mightiest of works. Moses begged for somebody else to be the guy. I can't talk. I'm not good around people. Remember the last time I was there, I kind of killed a guy. Anybody but me. What did God do with Moses? Only get his people out of exile and write the law. No big deal. So for us, let us have hope in that we can see and know what is here in the Scripture by the Spirit who is with us. And that in these messages that we've read today, we can see and know what we can take away. If we're not a believer, if we're reading this and we're like, yeah, no, I actually count me on side, good agricultural lesson, I really am not seeing this. Know that you might. Know that you can. There are those who have had ears to see and eyes to hear that do want to explain this. That if it is your desire, if it is in your heart to turn to the Lord and to do so fully, then do so. There's no one who's intentionally knocking on the door and asking for this that he's turning away. It's the ones who looked at him and said, no, you're actually Satan, that he said, okay, well, if you don't want to hear, then come to him and seek him and know that this can be shown to you, that same Spirit of wisdom can come to you. That when we use Scripture to interpret Scripture, we can see and know that it is the one who comes to him in faith and repentance that is saved. So do that. So do that. Come to him. Come to him and see that this seed has been sown, that you can be the good soil, that you can put this faith out, that all these promises can be true for you too. As we continue on through Mark here and we move kind of back into narrative, hopefully this week was both helpful for us as we just continue to understand how to work through our scripture and helpful to us as we continue to see the truth of salvation in our lives. Let's pray.